That was the best thing ever because I lost my virginity in the Hilton Hotel in Midtown Manhattan as a 17-year-old from Philadelphia.
Hello and welcome to the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast. I am your host, your roast coming queen, a girl who was once picked up for shoplifting in a Bath and Body Works and played dead immediately, Elise Morales. And with us today, we have just a good old pal of mine, a comedian and host who you know from HQ Trivia, HQ Words, and her podcast, The Unemployed Show. But before all of that, she was a graduate of Harriton High School. It's Anna Roisman.
Hi, thank you. Oh my God, I haven't heard those words in so long. Graduate of Harriton,
High School. You know, we say this on the pod a lot, but we worked hard for that high school degree.
Yes,
shout
we
it
did.
Loud, shout it proud. You know, that should take time.
I don't think I have my, I don't think my parents have my college diploma, which is probably, they're supposed to have that, but they have my, I've seen the high school one. It's like, did I even need to go?
Honestly, the high school one is more work.
Yeah, it is. It's tougher like, years.
It's honestly the most concentrated effort I have personally spent on anything.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for having me. I'm psyched to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. So you are a veteran of our live show, which for those yes. who listen to the podcast, you those who don't know, this was once a live show when live shows were a thing. But I'm very excited to dive deeper into your teen self based on what I know. So first question I like to ask is just what flavor of high school is Harriton High School? Where is it at? Public, private? What's the vibe?
So Harriton High School is a very small public high school in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Lower Merion School District is the school district. A lot of people know it because Kobe Bryant, this has got sad. Kobe Bryant was like the most famous person from my area. He went to Lower Merion High School. So there's two high schools.
Okay. I actually remember hearing this in one of the million Kobe Bryant things that I watched after the sad thing.
Yeah. So most people know Lower Merion High School. So there's two high schools in the district. Mm-hmm. Lower Merion is like the big one, like 1,200 people per class. I don't know, maybe not per class, but a lot of people.
Yeah.
My school, Harriton, also public school, same school district. You know, it's like on the other side of like the five towns that we all like funnel into. Mm-hmm. Harriton was a lot smaller. So like even though it was public school, like there were like 200 kids in a class. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah,
so was it just
small.
Like because there were less people in the hair.
It was like weird. It was like middle schools were pretty evenly sized, and then like a lot more kids went to Lower Merion, and like less like public school, like middle schools went to Harriton.
I'm sure if we dug into that, we would find out something bad. Like, I'm just like, I'm sure the reason is probably upsetting.
Right? I have no idea. My dad went to Harriton, though. So, like, that was cool to go to the high school
okay.
my dad went to, which, yeah.
Was there any, like, relics of your dad around the high school? Like, Harry Potter finding his dad's, like, old trophies?
No, definitely not. Middle school, yes. I had, like, a shop teacher who, like, pretended to remember who my dad was, but, like, I don't even think he was very old. I don't even think he knew like what day it was, but he was like, Ricky Roisman. I remember him. I'm like, no, he doesn't. But it's so sweet. It's nice to try.
It's like, oh, of course you do. That's adorable. Yeah. Definitely remember my dad. So you took shop. Was that like a choice? Did you get to choose between things?
I don't remember. That was middle school. We all took shop. You didn't take shop and home ec. Oh my God, we had shop and home ec.
We did not take shop, but I did take home ec, but home ec was called Family and Consumer Sciences.
Oh, wow.
So you were, and I know this from your previous performances, you were a drama girl.
I was, yeah. I found drama, though, later. I, like, was very – I did three sports a year. I was an athlete growing up. My mom's an athlete. My parents have nothing to do with, like, theater or acting or any of that shit. I knew what I wanted to do, but I, like, you know, I did my sports. I liked – I was good. I was good at sports. And
what
then, like,
were the sports?
Oh, so I'm a tennis player primarily. Mm-hmm. That's what I mostly did. But I also played basketball and I played softball.
Got it.
And then, like, by, like, ninth grade, I realized, or, like, 10th grade. It must have been ninth grade. I realized I can't play softball and audition for the spring musical. And, like, that's where, you know, I was divided.
And that, like, this has happened many times. And that is ultimately the plot of High School Musical. Yeah. How does one do sports and the play?
It can't be done. It's not fair. It can't be done. You know, those rehearsals are demanding. You can't be out on a field ruining your body, your
one
lungs.
One must choose between athletics and theater.
It's so true.
So what did you ultimately choose theater?
Obviously, yeah. I chose theater. I was hardcore. So, like, I didn't do any of the plays, though, in middle school. So there were already, like, the drama people who were, like, going. It starts early, yeah. But I was doing sports in middle school, and I was friends with, like, the cool crowd. And then, like, come high school, I went from, like, cool to, like, nerd, like, very fast. Because I was like, I want to do theater, which is good, you know. I listened to my instincts. Mm-hmm. I also played an instrument, and that was like a huge part of my high school experience.
What instrument?
I play the alto saxophone.
That's fucking cool.
I still have it. I still can play it. Thank you.
Extremely cool thing, but isn't cool when you're in high school. Like, when you're cool,
yeah.
When you're in high school and you tell someone you play the alto saxophone, that means nothing to them. Now I'm like, oh my God, that's fucking awesome.
It's cool, you know, in some ways. But you decide, did you do this, like, in school? They made us decide on an instrument in, like, third grade or something.
Yes,
like,
I picked the violin.
You, like, test them out, right? You, like, mm-hmm. walk in a room and they're like, and I remember they put on my, like, form. I walked in, I was like, I want to play the saxophone because I want to play an instrument that's in jazz band. But I, like, knew that already because I had seen the performances from the high school. Mm-hmm. And they said her hands are too small for a saxophone. And they recommended, like, the fucking clarinet or the oboe or the flute. And I was like, these are pussy instruments. I will play the cool saxophone. My hands will grow as I get older.
Yeah, that's crazy to say to a child. Like, your hands are going to grow. Teach this kid the saxophone. Her hands will get bigger.
I know. And then I was, like, good at it. I don't know if it was, like, mentally I was like, I'll show them. But I was, like, first seat in the band, and I was the only girl in the whole jazz band. It was all boys. And so they let me wear, like, we all wore all black. But they were like, since you're the only girl, I guess you can wear, like, a cool color. I wore, like, neon orange, like, turtleneck.
That's amazing.
I was like, not only will I stand out because I'm a girl, but I will be the brightest person in the room.
Absolutely. I am going to stunt on this jazz band concert.
Yeah. Yeah. So then come high school, I was doing jazz band and concert band and concert choir because I sang too. And then I was in the plays. So I don't think I played. I did play tennis all 4 years because tennis was in the fall. Somehow I figured out how to do that. I don't know.
Well, that's also a crazy thing to think about with high school where you're just like, wait, so I was going to school for 8 hours a day and then I also was playing 5 sports
right.
And I had homework.
I don't remember ever doing it. Yeah.
I starred in a play.
I have no fucking clue.
It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah. I didn't get big roles in the plays. I wasn't like a hot shot from the start. And seniority at my high school was a huge deal. So, like, freshmen were, like, chorus, you know, you were automatically in the chorus. Like, unless you were, like, a child, you know, movie star, I don't know. No younger grades, like, got the good roles off the bat.
Yeah, you had to be a prodigy to That's how it usually
And you had
works.
To, they said you have to earn your roles. So, like, you know, by junior year, maybe you'll get a lead. Like, it was, you had to, you know.
Yeah,
pay your dues.
That's how my high school worked, but also, like, my theater teacher loved to subvert that and, like, keep you on your toes by being like, yeah, you might get the role you want your senior year, but also I'm crazy. I could do anything anytime.
Right, rules don't apply. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So he's like, so you must please me at all times. and we bent over backwards to do so. Okay, so here's a question.
Yeah.
Was band, like, I mean, I guess you were the only girl in the band, but was it, like, one night at band camp, sexually active band geeks, or was it a very chaste pursuit.
So band was, I would say band was like, band, concert band was guys and girls. Mm-hmm. And like, we were like, it wasn't as sexually, you know, active and hyped up, but we were like bad where like when we went to play at like some, like Six Flags or something, like we had like a performance, like people brought alcohol, you know what I mean? So we like, they were like cool and like, we know how to party. No one was really hooking up in band. Maybe they were. Jazz band was like, so jazz band, I was the only girl for a lot of years. I think there ended up being like one other girl, but like, and I was younger, and they would, like, drive me to practice, like, early in the morning. Like, my neighbor was in jazz band. He'd, like, pick me up. They would, like, roll joints, and they would, like, have lots of weed. And I was, like, this naive, like, I'm also a singer, you know.
my throat.
It was like, I know I'm here, and I play the saxophone, and I'm very cool, but I also am in the musical, and, like, I can't do that to my lungs. Like, they always were, like, trying to get me to do shit, and like
this
were, like,
band sounds extremely cool. I
like, did you have a jazz band? Did you, if you went to public school?
We did, but I didn't have really much of a relationship with the band people.
Okay.
I was very much entrenched in the theater people and the emo people.
Mm-hmm.
And my freshman year, I kind of switched who my, like, core crew of friends was in the middle of high school. The beginning of high school, we called ourselves the Carpet Hallway Crew, and we sat in the carpet hallway.
Wow, okay.
And then later, well, listen to this. You're gonna see a pattern here. And then later, I changed my friend group to the Door 2 Crew, and we stood by Door 2. So...
I love how these names just, they come to you and you're just like,
yeah, honestly, that's what we'll do. We were just, you know, when you're a kid, you are just bubbling with creative energy.
Yeah. But for me, the band, so like the jazz band members, like a lot of them played in the pit orchestra for the shows. So there was like overlap in that way. You know what I mean? Like, so like some of my friends from there were in that.
Because we never talked to the band in the plays at all.
They're like the crew. You guys are like such divas that you're like, oh, that's cute. The crew's here.
I do not remember us interacting with the band or the orchestra in any way. But the theater tech was separate at our school.
Yeah.
And that was like a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
And like.
Tech and actors dating. Had a lot of hooking up. Oh, yeah. Same at my school.
That's a very sexually tense relationship between theater tech and actor.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I remember that being it, too.
You spend a lot of time in the dark. I think that's why.
And, like, backstage, there's always, like, that old couch that, like, they use for, like, props or, like, set pieces. And you're like, ah, like, who's going to have sex on the couch this year? Like, you know, there's always, like, weird rooms with, like, shit.
Like, I feel like the boys that are in tech are always like, do you want to, like, come up to where the lights are?
Yeah.
Like, I can show you where all the lights are.
And then you go up there. Literally Mean Girls.
Right? Yes. Oh, my God. I wasn't even thinking about that. But that is where they go in Mean Girls.
Right. They go to projector room, which is, like, the tech booth. Yeah.
We had a prop room where they kept all the props and costumes that the theater kids kind of, like, the teacher would, like, let us hang out in there.
Yeah.
And there was, like, rows and rows of costumes. And so, like, of course we were making out in there.
Yeah.
Of course we were.
So funny.
That was a beautiful place.
Yeah. We had a name for our theater group. It was called the HTC, and it was the Harriton Theater Company. But we were like, HTC, like, I'm an HTC. It was intense. Freshman year, I was a chorus girl in Crazy for You.
Great.
Sophomore year, what the fuck did we do? Oh, we did Godspell sophomore year.
I did Godspell once with like an outside theater group.
Oh, fun.
I love
fun.
Godspell.
And Godspell, because there's not really like a lead, aside from like, I guess it's Judas and Jesus, right?
Yeah.
They're the leads. Everyone kind of gets a song in Godspell. So like, I got a dope song.
What song?
I did Turn Back, Oh Man.
Oh, that's the best song.
And I was
you
like.
You get to be the sexy one?
A sophomore slut. Yeah. And I remember this sounds insane. I remember they were like, I came in through the audience. Like, I was going to come through the audience and, like, make my way up to the stage. You know what I mean? And, like,
I feel like that's traditional for Godspell. Is it?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited to, like, be in the audience. And they're going to have a spotlight on me. And I'm going to be in a boa. And I'm going to, like, fucking, you know. I knew how to sex it up. I watched a lot of porn as a kid. And I was, like, ready for it. And I remember being worried about, like, they were like, and you can, like, play with people and whatever. And I was worried about, like, sitting on people's laps that, like, I didn't know, you know, like, students and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to, like, you know, invade, like, be in someone's space. Mm-hmm. So I remember I, like, would plant one of our theater teachers. Like, he's like a science teacher. And I remember he would, like, sit there, and, like, during all the rehearsals, I was like, so you'll be there, like, even during the performance. He's like, I'll be there for the performance. And I'd go and, like, sit on his lap and, like, put the boa, like, around his neck. God. And I think back now and I'm like, what a fucking sick person that I was, and him for being like, yeah, I'll be there for every performance.
Yeah, I feel like they should have just been like, we're gonna pick a friend of Anna's who's another student at the school to do this.
Nope.
But I feel like there's nothing I would have wanted more in high school than to book the sexy role. Like, how did you take that on emotionally?
Well, it's funny because I was so excited. I liked the song. I took it. I loved the costumes. I was like, yeah, and I was wearing, like, a padded bra by then. I was like, yeah, I should get the sexy role. I invested in this bra from Victoria's Secret. That's like a giant, I have giant tits now.
Yeah. I remember that was a career move.
That actually was. But then I was typecast always as the dumb slut. Like, even in the play the next year, we did One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Mm. And it was like, I came back and I was like, you know, there are three girl roles in that whole play.
Yeah.
So I guess I was lucky to get a role, but they were like, she can only play a slut now. And I was like, oh no, but I have range. Like, you should see me at camp. Yeah. I was like, so at school, I was always like the slutty role. I did it to the best of my ability. What's funny is I was the opposite in life. I was like scared to kiss a boy. So
that's what I was gonna ask. Like, did, like, this translate thing at all into your actual sexual activity?
Not at all. I remember even I had a lot of guy friends. I think because I was in band and stuff, and like, so a lot of my friends were guys. I didn't really have like a girl group or anything in high school. Middle school, yeah. And then in high school, no. And I remember one of my guy friends was like, why are you so prude? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, you know, all of us would hook up with you. And I was like, you're my friends. Like, I remember feeling like, wait, that's what you – I thought we're friends. Like,
I feel like that is such a huge moment.
Even for prom. Like, one of my friends asked me to prom. And I was like, sure. I didn't have a boyfriend. And I was like, yeah, that would be fun to go with him. He's my friend. And then, like, he cried because I didn't want to kiss him the night of prom. And I was like, I wasn't trying to go out with you. Like, I don't want to be in a relationship. I just thought it would be fun. We'd have a fun prom.
Yeah. I mean, I was always, like, I was at the height of drama in my romantic relationships at all times. So, like, I was always down to play ball. If the friend came up to me and was like, I'm actually in love with you, I'd be like, interesting. I guess we can exchange some IMs.
I love it. That's how all the magic happens. Yeah.
I was just, like, I was just one of those girls who was, like, desperate to be in a love story and to be falling in love and, like, listening to emo music and just, like, breaking my heart open and, like, watching The OC and crying, falling in love. Like, I was just so in love with love at that time.
I love that. I was more career obsessed. And I literally thought, maybe one day I'll have room for a man. But right now, like, I auditioned for American Idol. Like, I would watch. I was nonstop. Oh. Like, I knew. I was like, I don't have time for a boyfriend if I want to be, like, in movies by 20.
Okay, so tell me everything about auditioning for American Idol.
Oh, my God. It was the most insane thing ever. So, like, I auditioned at the Javits Center in New York City. I didn't live in New York, obviously. I was 17 years old, and I remember, like, I was in New York visiting a camp friend or something, and I like heard there were auditions for American Idol, and I thought, I'll go. I've always loved the show. I'll go. And I went, and there were 17,000 people in line. little me, like 17-year-old me, like goes, and I'm like, with a bag, like, you know, I just go and get
that's
in line.
That's like me trying to sign up for the vaccine, and they're like, you're number 17,000.
Yeah, it's the same shit. And I get online. I'm online, like, let's say I got there at, like, 8 a.m. I'm online all day, okay? And people have sleeping bags, and they are prepared to be there. Some have been there for days, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I didn't think it'd be like this. I didn't pay attention. We didn't have we had the internet, but people weren't posting, like, hey, I'm auditioning right now for American Idol. Like, check out this line. Like, look at how, you know.
Yeah.
And I got – someone came through the line, and I got, like, a card. They give you, like, a ticket or whatever when you get to come back the next day to audition. People slept on the street all night. And – or I didn't get the – I got up to the guy who gives the cards, and they looked at my ID, and they're like, you're not 18. You can't audition without a parent or guardian. And I was like, I've been here 9 hours, like, all day. I'm, like, sweating in, like, the outfit I came in. Like, I'm, like, oh, with, like, a tiny little bag. And I remember I called my mom, and I was like, I told her I was doing it. I was like, I need a parent or guardian. And God bless my mom. She got on an Amtrak from Philadelphia, came to New York City, brought sleeping bags, and we slept on the sidewalk that night. The guy was like, gave me a tentative card as long as I like came back with my mom or a parent or whatever. And she came, and she was like, we'll have fun. And like, we didn't sleep because people sing 24 hours a day thinking.
Everyone's practicing constantly. Always. Oh, no.
They think they're American
Nightmare.
Idol.
Nightmare.
It was insane.
Nightmare.
And, like, Jared from Subway was doing, like, promo work. And I remember he was, like, walking up and down the lines with, like, Subway signs and shit. It was such a weird experience. And, like, so we slept on the street. And I remember you get your card. Okay, so then the next morning you get, like, a time that day. And my time was in the afternoon. So we literally went to, like, a department store. We went to, like, Bergdorf Goodman to, like, shower in their public bathrooms, literally to like sink shower, you know, because they have nice shit. And my mom's like, well, we'll go to Bergdorf's, you know, my mom's a Jap, and she's like, and we'll get lunch and we'll shower in the sinks. And we ran into like my aunt, who's like, what are you doing? And she's like, Anna's auditioning for American Idol. I was like, Mom, don't tell people. Like, and we looked like we had slept on the street for the night.
Yeah.
So
you looked like you had tried to sleep on the street, but everyone was singing, so you couldn't sleep.
You couldn't sleep. I remember at one point my mom went and bought herself a bottle of wine because she's like, this will knock me out, and was like drinking wine, like just like bottle. Or like,
damn, your mom, props to your mom, a ride or die.
She's
for
cool.
real. For real.
Meanwhile, you audition, you get through, like, one round of producers, the next, and then, like, the producers are, they're not, you don't get to the big dogs until, like, eight rounds or something, and so, like, no one from my group got through. They told me I was good, but they were like, you're not Ruben Studdard, and that feedback stuck with me for years.
They told you.
I was like, no
they
shit.
They told a 17-year-old Anna Roizman, you're not Ruben Studdard?
Yeah. They were like, you're really good, but, you know, you're not Ruben Studdard, and that's who we're looking, you know, he's one of our American Idols. And I was like, yeah, wow,
I mean,
no
Anna,
shit.
You're not Ruben Studdard.
I'm not.
let's actually, I want to move in because we're talking now about, I guess, your early forays into stardom. And
Thank
I think
you.
That this
yeah.
first photo of you really puts that on display.
Okay.
So this is a gorgeous black and white photo of you.
Thank
you. Flower in your hair. This looks like a headshot, is it?
No. So this was taken at my brother's bar mitzvah.
Wow.
And I think I showed this on your live show once. I think I peaked. This is, I am 15 here. And I still to this day will be like, this is the prettiest I've ever looked. My hair, my dress, my makeup, I don't know what. What this, I did, but
it's a stunning photo. Like, you're drop dead. It's one of those pictures where they're like, and this is the Anna Roizman's first photo before she got into Vogue.
It's so funny to me because I'm like, how did I know how to like get that shit done at 15? Like, what happened afterwards? There's a lot of awkward afterwards. You know what I mean? And
the control in your face, the the emotion in your eyes. It's really. So and so this was just at a bar mitzvah, like
my brother's bar mitzvah. So it was like a big, it was like a fancy event. Okay. We have these like our bar mitzvahs in our town were like weddings. You know what I mean? They were like, it was at a hotel. It was like a black tie thing. This dress is hilarious. So this dress, you can't see the full dress. I had it made. It was copied after a Sarah Jessica Parker dress that she wore to the Golden Globes. I watched a lot of Sex and the City with my family every Sunday night. That was like a normal Sunday night activity for us, which is highly inappropriate. And
so many things about that, not appropriate, but whatever. Right?
So yeah, I had this photo like around, like I kept it around being like, this will be the photo I use for the rest of my life. It's the prettiest I'll ever look.
It really is a gorgeous photo. And this isn't even your bar mitzvah.
No. I had already had the bat mitzvah. I was going to show you that, but I was like, no, this is more when I'm like 15. So, you know, this was when I was in like.
What was your bat mitzvah theme, though? Just so that we know.
Oh, so mine was Anna's Paradise Island. I didn't pick it. It was, you know, it was a lot of palm trees. We had steel drum band, which is so religious, you know, to do for cocktail hour.
Steel drum band is fun for a cocktail hour.
Very cool.
That's a good, honestly, that's like a really elevated event.
Yeah. And then my brother's was, this bar mitzvah that we went to, my brother's was Abe's Auto Show, and it was like a car show. And I remember, you know, my parents have a lot of friends who are much richer. They had a lot more money than my parents. So my dad like borrowed like three of his friends like fancy cars, and they had them like in the room, like on display as if you're at a car show.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
There's a boy, a young man named Noah, who had his bar mitzvah in my wedding venue, and I really like the way that they set it up. So I have, like, many photos of Noah's bar mitzvah.
That's not weird at all.
I just really like how they set up the cocktail tables and, like, the
way that they have. Like, man, Noah really did it right.
Okay. Let's go to your next photo here. Oh, okay. Wow. I love this one because this is a really, this is indicative of a lot of fashion that was happening at the time. Should we start with the cap?
Sure. Yeah. So I, so let's go head to toe. I loved clothing. I always did. Growing up, even from like 6 years old on, I said, I'm going to be a movie star and I'm going to have a fashion line on the side. Mm-hmm. And I cared about, and my mom cares a lot about clothing. So that was always big in our house. This hat is, it's actually a corduroy hat. I believe I still have it.
Yes.
I remember I got it. I thought it was like the coolest thing ever because it was from Barney's in New York. I probably got this the fucking day I auditioned for when I got rejected from American Idol. I was like,
for not being you. Well, you know what? Here's what I'm gonna say. Ruben Studdard would never wear this. Ruben Studdard would never wear this.
No, and that's why I discovered myself. Yeah, no, the hat, I don't know. I don't even know if I guess my mom always told me I looked great in hats. So this was the hat, I guess, I chose. But this outfit, the hat is like, looks like winter. The rest of the outfit is like what, I don't know what season this was taken in.
That was a huge, that was a huge thing I feel in the early 2000s is like, I have on shorts, but I do have on a long sleeve shirt. I'm wearing a knit hat. When loafer. Am I have a mini skirt over jeans, like what am I wearing?
We layered a lot. I remember layering, like, no matter what, long sleeve, short sleeve, tank top, we always had like multiple layers on.
Yes.
Not for warmth, that was for fashion, right? We always like the layers. This was like a white tank top under like a lacy, like cool long sleeve, and I probably had a bra also on, like that had like other straps. This is in my sister's bedroom. Okay, the shorts crack me up.
I feel like if we put a boot on this, this is very like Lindsay Lohan at the premiere of Mean Girls. Yeah. Like.
And I'm very tan. I mean, I always had like, you know, kind of dark skin, but I feel like I did go through a moment in high school where self-tanner was introduced to me. And I remember I discovered it with my friend and I went to Florida to visit our grandmas. They lived in the same like complex and it rained. And we were like, we can't go home from Florida without a tan because it rained. Mm-hmm. And I bought a bottle of self-tanner and I clearly think I'm still like using it here. I'm like a dark, weird color.
Did you ever do tanning bed?
No, not really. My mom is like a cancer survivor and she's very strict. So I wasn't allowed to do that. I did in college a little bit because I was like, fuck that. I'm an adult now.
But I never did it, but it was because I lived in the emo world, the pale, pale world. I had a little, I was under a little parasol trying to keep
Honestly, that's why you look so young and beautiful now. Like, I, you know, could use some Botox. Although the self-tanner, you know, is not baking in the sun, so.
Yeah, no, self-tanner is good. Self-tanner is the right option. Were you a big unrequited crush person? Like, were you, like, pining after boys?
There was an older guy I loved, and I remember my, like, one of my best friends and I, when I had my car, we'd, like, drive past his street, and now I sound like driver's license girl, but we would literally drive past his street, and we'd be listening to Avril Lavigne. It's, like, very vivid in my memory, and we'd be like, he's home, oh my god, and then we'd be like, we gotta go, like, he's gonna see our car, you know, and we were so worried. Meanwhile, I did have sex with him, like, during a Thanksgiving break, like, sophomore year of college.
Yeah, you did it! You did it! So many people don't get to do that, and you did it. Congratulations, Anna.
And then I remember thinking, I'm so glad I had that done, and I actually don't like him anymore. Like, I'm fine now.
How did you set it up?
Well, we were always, like, friends, and I remember there was, like, a party happening, like, Thanksgiving Eve was, like, a big night, and I didn't go to, like, the bars or whatever, but, like, the theatery kids had, like, a house party, you know, like, someone was like, my parents are, like, not here, like, so we all were at someone's house, and I remember we just, like, hooked up, and I had already had sex at that point for a couple of years, you know, so I was, like, sophomore year of college.
Not to brag, but whatever. I already had sex a couple times.
I did have sex in high school. Yeah. I didn't go to college a virgin. I wasn't, like, but
So who did you have sex with in high school? The summer boyfriend?
Yes, yes.
And were you just like, I just want to do this before high school, or did you truly feel that he was the one?
No, we planned, he lived in New York. We planned it on AIM. I just wanted to lose my virginity before college because I was afraid if I went to college, I'd like get drunk in a CVS or like, I'd get drunk, I'd go to like a 7-Eleven and like someone would take me home and like, I wouldn't remember my night. And I was I was like, I'm going to be taken advantage of if I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so we planned it on AIM. That was the best thing ever because I lost my virginity in the Hilton Hotel in Midtown Manhattan as a 17-year-old from Philadelphia.
And you know what?
I was
There's
a prostitute.
There's no way you're the first. There's no way you're the first Philly 17-year-old to lose her virginity in that Hilton. I also wonder, like, how many virginity losses AIM facilitated.
I know. Millions. So many. Yeah.
Millions. An entire generation's worth of virginities lost.
So fucking funny. Yeah, no, he told me. He was like, we should have a sleepover and, like, with a winky face. And, like, you know what that means. That's not a sleepover.
No. Hello. That's a no sleepover.
I know. And then, like, my friends and I, we, like, met up with him in the East Village. I was so young. I didn't even know what the East Village was. At, like, a fucking shitty, like, sushi place that served 17-year-olds alcohol. And he told me he got a hotel room on his dad's credit card. And I was, like, I was panicked. I was, like, well, what did he tell his dad? And, like, would he get a refund if I don't go? Like, I don't know. And, like, so many questions went through. It was the least romantic experience of my life, but I got it done.
It feels very – I think that this happens a lot, though, with virginity loss is, like, it does end up kind of being transactional.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's, like, well –
because it's not good.
Like, you're not going to have great sex, but at the best case scenario, you're going to have a not harmful experience with someone else who wants to learn what's up with you. And that's kind of, you know, that's fine.
You just want to, it's like graduating to a new level of like adulthood.
All right. So we've got one more photo from you and it goes back to your theater days, I believe.
Wow,
so I have a guess as to what we're looking at here, but
guess. Will you guess?
Is this fun. Snoopy in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown?
Yes.
Of course.
Of course. I mean, the red, you know, house gives it away.
The red house, the overalls are classic for Snoopy in this show. So what year is this?
Okay,
tell me everything.
So This is at camp. So I told you I'm a huge camp person. Camp was a big part of my life in my teenage years. And here's the thing. At school, I didn't get the leads until senior year. I mean, I had that Godspell song and I was like an understudy in Pippin. And then I was the lead in Guys and Dolls. I'll give you that. I'll give them that. Camp.
As you should be.
As I was. Yes. Adelaide was. I was born to play that role. I loved it.
I love Adelaide in Guys and Dolls.
It was
so
like I went in and sang the song for my audition. I was like, it's a no brainer. If anyone gets this role over me, like I will quit high school. That's it. But so at camp, I went to an all girls camp. So at camp, for some reason, I mean, I know they gave me the funny roles, but they always gave me the boy roles. And I was a very girly girl. And I was like, ugh. And they'd fit me for my suit. We had to like slow dance with the girl. Like literally picture an all girls production of The Music Man. I was Marcellus. Okay. Like, and my resume. And I had a resume because I wanted to be a real actor. My resume was all boy roles from camp. Like I was Harvey Johnson in Bye Bye Birdie. Like.
It's very funny to me. There are a lot of plays where gender bending the roles or like you, there are just a lot of female roles. It's very funny to me that they're picking ones like The Music Man and Bye Birdie.
Yes. Lead men, which are led by men and not female shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there are a lot.
Annie makes sense for an all girls camp.
Right. Yeah. If you have a girl playing Daddy Warbucks, whatever. I mean, Good Man Charlie Brown makes sense. We could throw a Seussical in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had all these boy roles. This was my last summer at camp. And I was like, I came in hot. I was like, oh, we're doing You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. That's two female roles. I will be one of them. Mm-hmm. And I remember just being like, this is my year. This is, you know, I've always been a boy. This summer, it's my last summer. I'm 15 years old. I'm like, I'm going to get the girl, one of the girl roles.
Did you want Lucy?
Either. I liked Sally, too, because I loved Kristen Chenoweth. I was like, oh, my God. And she played it. So I literally was like, I'll go for either. I don't remember what I auditioned with. And I remember seeing this, and I'm like, they didn't even give me a man. They gave me the fucking dog.
Male dog.
Because they always were like, she's funny. She should play the funny roles. And they're usually boy roles. And I was like, I just want to be a pretty ingenue. So, yeah, they gave me the dog. This is the best, though. You can't really tell from this picture very well, but I boycotted costuming. So the costume department had a costume for me to play Snoopy. And I was like, no, Snoopy doesn't need a gender. I will play Snoopy as the girl that I am. And so I am wearing like a tight, tight wife beater and like Juicy Couture white, like cute, like capris. And I have like my cool Saucony sneakers. And I was like, they were like, and the ears. And I was like, I have hair. I will wear pigtails and my choker will just be my collar. I was the sexiest Snoopy you could be. I was like, girls wish they were Snoopy. Lucy's got some frumpy ass dress. You can see my figure in this outfit.
So you sexed up Snoopy.
I did.
Fucking incredible.
I was like, they're not going to give me the girl. I will be a girl.
That's how you fucking do it. You say, I will wear Juicy Couture as Snoopy and I will have gorgeous pigtails as my ears.
Yeah, I was like, I'll just blow dry them really full and they'll just be the ears and it'll look gorgeous as a dog. And I had like
this read as Snoopy to me immediately. Yes. I saw the picture and I said, who is that? That's Snoopy. So.
Thank you. And Snoopy is a great part in the show. There's two fun songs. I had a lot of fun doing it. And I remember like thinking like, oh, it's actually a really good role. But I was so mad at first that I was like, I'll make this how I want it to be.
That's a fucking incredible story. I feel like this is actually the perfect place for us to round everything out by me asking you our final question.
Okay.
Which is, if you could talk to teen Anna today, what would you tell her?
Okay. I did this recently. I would say, don't worry about anything right now, because when you get older, shit will happen that you really need to worry about. I was always very stressed out. You can tell by my journals and everything. I was always like worried about my future. I would also say, you know what? Kiss a boy. Just try it. You know, don't, you don't need to wait. You don't need to play so hard to get. Have fun with boys. And I would say, you know, you don't need to, you're gonna get the right roles for you. You don't need to put all your eggs in the basket of a fucking musical at high school, even though it seems like the most important thing at the time. You will find your way eventually, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love it. Anna, this was a great episode.
I feel like
there's so much other stuff I want to talk to you about, so we'll have to have you back. But for everyone listening at home, this has been the Roast of Your Teenage Self podcast.